Well, good morning, First Baptist Cleveland. It's so great to be with you today. My name's John Mark, and we live in Apex, North Carolina, as Jeff said. Can I just say thank you to Brother Allen and Jim and Jeff for asking me and letting me be here. Man, what a great church. Man, your reputation precedes you, and know that I am so thankful. It's a privilege for me to stand here. I remember the first time I met Jeff, we were at a conference, and my life changed forever. We came walking out of the conference, and there was somebody in the pool already yelling at everybody, and it was Jeff. He'd skipped the session to go to the pool. So anyway, that's Jeff. If you don't know Jeff, that describes Jeff for you. I love him and so thankful for his ministry to me, and we've got to partner and to do some awesome, awesome things together. Well, if you've got a Bible today, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Man, grab whatever you brought. Grab your copy of God's Word. Let's turn there. Man, grab your iPad or your iPhone or your tablet, whatever it is. We love to see the pages turn and the glow in your face. You know what I'm saying? So whatever you have, grab it and let's do it. And let's study the Word together. You know, I am tired of so many people claiming Christ and living defeated lives. You know what I'm talking about? When you meet somebody and they claim Jesus, but they live as though they're defeated. Man, that just wears me out. I'm just being honest with you this morning. That's just, come on. Like, let's do this. I mean, there's so much more to Jesus than overwhelmed, exhausted, defeated, down in the dumps all the time. You know people like this. Listen, I even get there. I get frustrated myself. And it's like, okay, if Jesus is who the Scripture says he is, then why do I continue to live in a defeated manner? I love powerful things, do you not? I mean, I love, you know, power tools, and I love powerful people. You know, I love those guys that you can tell they only work out on their upper body and forget their lower body. You know what I'm talking? They're running like chickens. But in North Carolina, they got all these rules to fireworks. And so here's how the conversation goes as we lead towards 4th of July. The fireworks in North Carolina, can I just tell you, they're wimpy. And so it's a text message thread to determine who's going to drive the 3.5 hours to South Carolina to get real fireworks. You know what I'm saying? And so you go to South Carolina, you get real fireworks, you come back, and you scare the entire neighborhood, right, with one. Because it goes from to pow, you know, it's fun. Power, right? We love the idea of power, but yet we live like we're weak. Can I tell you this morning, church, that a disciple of Jesus Christ has more power available to them than anybody else in the world. And so what we need to do today is study from Romans 8, and we need to begin to understand that Jesus didn't die so we can continue just to survive, but Jesus came to give us life and give it abundantly, and to do that, he's going to give to us, impart to us, his power. So let's look at it. Romans chapter 8. If you're up there in the loft, grab your Bible. Let's all study it together this morning. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 is trying to describe for us real life in Christ. He's been working through this through the entire passage, and he gets to this moment, and he's like, okay, listen, there's a power available to you that you've got to receive and understand. That there's something here for every single one of us today. You know, we come to church, we drag a lot of stuff with us, do we not? We drag worries and cares. We drag health issues, health concerns. We drag family drama. Hello. Isn't it the most arguments happen in the car on the way to church, then you hop out and everything's wonderful? It's like the parking lot people see it all. Like, ooh, don't mess with that minivan. They're still going at it. You know, you and I need to understand, it doesn't matter what's happening here in this earth. We can set our gaze and our focus on a consistent, powerful Savior who can lead us by the hand. He doesn't just dictate from a distance, but lead us by the hand so we can be filled with His power and overcome every obstacle in our life. So let's look at it together today. Can we look in verses 9 through 11? Let's first understand that the power for life is found when I identify with Christ. The power for life is found when I identify with Christ. Verse 9 says, all right, you're not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, so anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So there's this identification that must take place with Christ if we're going to receive His power. Think about it like this. Jeff told you my sports allegiance. Don't hate. We're okay, right? I was a little nervous about him sharing that with you, but it's always interesting to me after a ball game how everybody who did not play in the game stands around and goes, "We won." We? Really? Like, we, meaning you sat in the stands and cheered, now we won, you know what I'm saying? Like no one did anything to win the game except for the players on the field, but yet because you've identified with that allegiance, you're like, we won. You know, so I grew up in Alabama, and my kids were born in North Carolina, and so I've got a seven-year-old, and he's like, Dad, Carolina is not very good at football. I was like, right. You know, Dad, NC State, not very good at football. I'm like, exactly. That's why we cheer for Alabama, because they are good at football. And so he's like, but he forgets. He's like, now why do we cheer for the red and white team? He's never lived in Alabama. Like, he doesn't know that you're supposed to say Roll Tide every other sentence. Like, he doesn't know that you know, it's life and death down there. He doesn't understand those things. He's never identified with Alabama football. But once you're in the cult, you can't get out. You know what I'm saying? So it's... Say that in church. Is that okay? You see, we understand it when we think about identifying with our team. But can I tell you today that you cannot identify with Christ by being around spiritual things? You cannot identify with Christ by being a moral person. You cannot identify with Christ by doing more good things than bad things. The only way you can identify with Christ is through repentance and faith in Jesus. Like, that's how I identify. It's not something I grow up into. You can't claim Jesus on the backs of your mom and dad. You can't claim Jesus because you were raised in the South. You can't claim Jesus because you know a few things about the Bible. The only way to identify with Christ is through repenting of your sin, which, friend, means to get low and surrender your life to Him and turn from what you were doing and begin to walk in a new way. That's how I identify with Christ. This way is not for me. His way has been for me and will always be for me. And so we've got to move ourselves from understanding that identification means church membership. Listen, there are a lot of church members that will not be with Jesus in heaven. We gotta move ourselves from understanding that identification doesn't mean I'm a good moral person, because there will be a lot of moral people that never see Jesus. And we've got to begin to understand that if we want power for life, if we're tired of being defeated and run over all the time, there is one power source. And it's not in Washington. It's in heaven. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And listen, this may be chaos and crazy here, but it's all alive and well there. He is seated at the place of honor. He is fine and dandy in complete sovereign control. And this world is His. The nations are His. Everything you see was created by Him and for Him. And one day He will return for His church. It's the greatest news in all the world. Think on it. Identification with Christ secures for me victory. Identification with Christ allows me to experience heaven on earth today. Identification with Christ takes me from worrying about what's happening tomorrow to resting in the one who owns tomorrow. Think about it with me today. When I identify with Jesus, all that's his is available to me. It makes us so thankful for his blood, does it not? Because that was impossible until he died on that Roman cross. When he died for my sin and your sin, he bore our weight, he bore our shame, he stood in our place, and he was crushed so that we could have life. So what's happening in Romans 8 is Paul's describing for us this real life that we need, that we long for, that we desire, but we're trying to find it in so many ways. So friend, hear me. Stop worrying so much about what you identify with here, what your label is here, and begin to identify with Christ. Teenagers, listen. That cool kid you're trying to be will become uncool very quickly. Listen to me, college students, that person you're working so hard to become will leave you unfulfilled. Hear me. Senior adult, that nest egg you've been trying to build for yourself and maintain and keep will not fulfill you. Listen to me, soccer mom. It doesn't matter how great Throckmorton is. He will still sin. I hope your kid isn't named Throckmorton. I was trying to pick a name that nobody had. Are we going to identify ourselves by what we do, by what we can accomplish, or who Christ is? Because we find power when we identify with Christ. Second, notice in the passage, verses 12 through 14, we can see that the power for real life is found when we live by the Spirit. So it's found in identifying with Christ, that he is the only one that matters, and I identify with him through repentance and faith. And now I'm going to learn to live by the Spirit. Look at the passage. So then, brothers, we are debtors, meaning we owe someone, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. This is the decision moment for us today. Okay, are we willing to identify with Christ to receive his power? And are we willing to reject the way our minds work, our natural way of thinking? Because our natural way of thinking says, build my kingdom. Our natural way of thinking says that I need to do everything I can do to make sure I'm safe, I'm secure, have all we need. But the kingdom of God says, no, you don't need to protect yourself. You need to allow God to protect you, and you need to spend your life and invest your life making a difference in others. That's why when those came to Jesus, and he said, they were saying, what's the most important commandment? He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. He was describing for us how to live by the Spirit. He was showing us what life is supposed to be about. The reason so many of us are so weak and unfulfilled every single day is because we're living for the audience of this day, not the one of that day. We've got to learn to live by the Spirit if we want to be people who enjoy the power of God. Now, living by the Spirit is not some crazy, distant thing that we can't understand. No, living by the Spirit is living a surrendered life so that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who comes and lives in us at the moment of salvation, can counsel us and guide us and illuminate us to the truths of Scripture. See, have you ever read a passage and thought, what does that mean? And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to counsel you and show you other passages of Scripture that helps you understand what that one means. That's the work of the Spirit in us to counsel us. He uses the Word to counsel us to the Word so that we can know how to walk. What did the psalmist say? That Word is a light unto my feet, or a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? So if it's this lamp and this light, the Spirit is counseling us on how to walk. See, living by the Spirit, we think is some distant kind of random, strange thing. No, it is the natural overflow of someone who's spending time with the Lord. So Paul says, so reject the works of the flesh and live by the Spirit if you want to receive the power of God. William Barclay, he said this. William Barclay said, to allow the things of the world to completely dominate life is self-extinction. It's spiritual suicide. To allow the things of this world to dominate is self-extinction. See, when the things of this world are dominating my life, then I'm living according to the works of the flesh. I'm trying to build my own kingdom. But when I begin to move me, led by the Spirit of God, I'm investing in an eternal kingdom. When I'm led by God's Spirit, I'm doing things that matter, not just for today, but for all of eternity. Because that's what the Spirit does in us. It brings dead things to life. And isn't that what Jesus did? Think of the miracles in the New Testament. Think of the people who were brought back to life. Think how he himself raised from the dead. This is real power. No other religion can claim that their leader died and got back up again. There is no power like the power in Jesus. And so what we need to understand today is that power is available when we walk by the Spirit. Third, notice in the passage, the power for life is found when I understand whose I am. So this power, it's available to me when I identify with Christ. I'm going to experience this power when I walk by the Spirit, not building my kingdom. And now I'm going to realize this power as I understand whose I am. Look at the passage. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. Notice here, the Apostle Paul puts on one side of the table the spirit of slavery, which leads to fear. And on the other side of the table, the spirit of adoption, which leads to sonship. Remember when Joshua stood before Israel and said, choose you this day whom you will serve? There are moments like that all through Scripture where the people of God are going to have to choose where they're going to be. And look at this. Here's another one of those moments. Am I going to be a slave to myself, or am I going to be led by the spirit of adoption? Am I going to live a life that leads to fears and insecurities, or am I going to be someone who's resting in who God has made me to be? It's a question we all have to answer, not just on Sunday, but every single day. We've got to choose. Are we going to be people who allow ourselves to be wrapped up in this day, or allow us to be people who are wrapped up in our identity and who we are in Christ? And if we want the power of God in our lives, then we've got to see ourselves as heirs. Even when we suffer, he said it at the end of verse 17, did he not? There will be times of suffering and pain. And so as we see ourselves as heirs, it's not that it's all perfect here and now, but it's that we have a secure identity in Christ. So my wife and I, we got married when we were like 12. Not really, but we got married really young. And we were on the 5-year plan for kids. And so we were married about 5 months, and my wife called one day and said, hey, you want to go to Jim and Nick's barbecue for dinner? Now, a couple thoughts here. John Mark, like slab of meat for every meal. My wife, like rabbit food. You know what I'm saying? So for her to say, let's go eat barbecue, I was like, something's up. I don't know what's up, but something is up. And we sat down at Jim and Nick's, and she says, you should know I'm pregnant. And my first response was, how'd that happen? You know, it was like, just been married 5 months, you know? It's like, wait a minute, yes, it's all true. And And so I was working as an intern at a church and making like $10,000 a year. And I was like, I probably should provide for this child. And so we moved to Atlanta for me to take a full-time job with working with an evangelist. And I'll never forget the first doctor visit. We were there to find out if it was me, a little boy or a little girl. Notice the ultrasound tech got really nervous and she just stepped out of the room for a minute. And the doctor came back in with her and they said a few things that I didn't understand to each other. And the doctor turns around and looks at us and says, you guys need to understand that you have a precious baby boy who has significant health issues. And so we went to the doctor what felt like every day. January 21st, 2004, my little boy came in this world. And the very next morning, I had to sit across the tables from the doctors and sign the papers that would take him off the machines that were keeping him alive. Can I just, as a word of testimony, tell you, at the deepest and darkest moment of suffering in my life, the power of God was still there. I can tell you, man, as my heart crumbled, because I've always wanted to be a dad, always, as my heart was crushed, his hands were protecting me and wrapping me and caring for me. So when I tell you today, when you go through difficult times, his power is what you need, I'm telling you that because that's exactly what sustained me through the darkest time in my life. So we went on a journey. God, what are you doing? We still want to be parents. God, what are you doing? So we moved to Asheville, North Carolina, and we had thought about adoption, and it became very clear that God wanted us in that process. And can I tell you, the day that I got that phone call that said, Mr. Harrison, there's a baby boy that you need to go pick up. I'm talking, it wasn't like polite cry, it was like ugly cry. You know what I'm saying? Like, now, if you knew me better, you would also know that I cry at grocery store openings. So, I mean, like it was nasty. But it was just, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And so this little six-day-old little guy, and he was tiny, man. He came into our home, and his name's Cade, and he's our seven-year-old. And let me tell you, when he came home, I didn't kind of put him in his room and say, okay, Cade, you're adopted into my family, and so this is kind of your room. Now, the rest of it is for us, but this is your room. No, I didn't do that. I said, listen, everything I have is yours. I will put diapers on you until you can figure out how to go in the potty, and I will get by you clothes. When you're a teenager, I'll buy you a car. You'll wreck it. I'll buy you another one. I will go in debt to send you to college. And when you have children one day, I'll pay you back for all of it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's everything. I give you everything. I will do whatever it takes because you're not someone else's child who's living in my house. You are my son. We even had a cake that said, Cade Harrison forever. A couple years ago, we're sitting at his bed and he said, Dad, I'd really like a brother or sister. And I thought to myself, you better go to work, son. Them things are expensive. You know, it's like, and so we started the adoption process again 5 months ago. I'd even stood in the pulpit and said, man, I'm praying God doesn't give me another girl. I'm afraid clothing will be optional by the time she's in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like that was kind of what was my, it's okay to laugh. You're okay. You're all right. You can laugh at it. First service did that too. It was like, oh, is that appropriate? It's okay. By the way our culture's going, you never know, right? But man, 1:30 September the 26th, 1:30 in the morning, I get a phone call. Hey, you need to come pick up this little girl. Can I tell you, it has been pink explosion in my house. You know what I'm saying? I looked at those little eyes and said, I will cry with you when he breaks your heart, and then I'll go clean my gun. I will pay for your wedding. I will buy you cars, and I will always be the one you can come home to. You're not someone else's living in my house. You are Mia Harrison forever. Somebody asked me a few months ago, people ask adoptive families really weird questions. Somebody asked me, do you love her yet? I looked at them. Listen, here's how I was taught. When people ask crazy questions or you got to say something hard, just look at people and smile. So I just left. I was trying to walk away. Like, that question didn't even deserve. Yes. 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 She is God's gift to our family. So think on this with me. I think some of us, we talk about our identity in Christ and understanding whose we are, we feel like we're barely in because of our past. When God looks at you, he doesn't see some orphan that's out there trying to figure it out. No, he sees the one that his son bled and died to make a way that he could invite to be an heir into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm not talking about, hey, you get a corner room that's kind of in the basement. I'm talking about you have access to everything, all his power, all his wisdom, all his understanding, everything you need for life and godliness is available to you through the blood of Jesus. We've got to understand. Yeah, we can praise the Lord for that, can we not? We've got to understand today that we have an identity as a son and daughter of God. And it's not that we used to be this. It's that we've been made brand new. The Spirit gives life. And as we've been made new, he's adopted us and said, welcome to the kingdom. So why in the world are we still living defeated lives? Why in the world are we still walking around like we're defeated? Listen, the end of the story is still true. He returns and he is king. And so you are his son. You are his daughter if you know Christ Jesus. You've been welcomed into his family. And he has everything you will ever need. So, old friend, stop trying to do life on your own and identify with Christ. Stop living how you can understand and comprehend and live by his Spirit through his word. And understand that you have been bought with a price and you are not your own. And you have been adopted into his family. And there is nothing and no one who can snatch you from his hands. We've got to get this through our minds this morning and let it transform our hearts today. Because we've been convinced of things in our head, but we live in a different way because it's never transformed our hearts. You are dearly loved. You have not been abandoned. You are not a colossal failure. You are not worthless and hopeless and ruined. You are an heir. So live like it, brother. Father, today, I pray that we could have just a few moments of stillness to reflect on you. God, I know there are people who have got things to go do, but I pray that, Lord, we could focus on you for these next moments. And God, you would allow us to not just know in our head, but know in our heart the power that's available to us. And so, Lord, if we need to identify with you today through repentance and faith, may we make that choice. If today, God, we need to cast off the things that have been entangling us, that keep us from walking by the Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would set people free from their addictions today. God, I pray that you would set people free from their hang-ups today. God, I pray that you would restore families today. God, I pray for husbands to grab the hand of their wife and say, we need to live by the Spirit. God, I pray for children today to understand that their role in their family is not to create division and strife, but to push them to kingdom advancement, and that, God, they would see their role and begin to invest in things that matter and live by the Spirit, even as a teenager, God. Lord, there are so many of us who feel so defeated. Would you remove the cloud that the enemy has placed in their life? And God, today, may they be set free to live victorious because of Christ. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed this morning, I just ask you, how many would say, hey, John Mark, I'm living a weak Christian life. I I'm not living by the Spirit. I'm not understanding whose I am. How I'm a son or a daughter, the Most High. I'm living for less than Jesus died to give me because I'm not walking in His power. Will you pray for me today? Just raise your hand. Let me see. I want to pray for you. I see you. Yeah, I see you. All over this room. Raise them high. Don't be afraid. You're okay. Raise them high. Yeah. So many of us. Listen, friend, the quota for weak Christians has been met. Like, don't be a part of that crowd. Here's what I'll ask you to do. Even now, this may be different, and it's okay. But even now, I want to ask you to kind of step out of your seat and come to this altar. You raise your hand, so that's me. But why, Pastor, why got to come? Listen, every other time you'll walk in this room, it'll be a reminder to you that you got on your knees at a sacred place and said, God, I want to be filled with your power. Forgive me for walking in the flesh. Help me walk in the Spirit, and I want to understand my identity with you. You come right now. Right now. We don't have to wait. You come. You raised your hand. You said, that's me. Come on. You're okay. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. You're fine. Nobody's going to judge you for coming. They're going to actually cheer you for coming. So come on. All over this room, people are coming. You join them. Come on. Others of us here who've never identified with Christ. You've grown up around religious things, but friend, your hope for power is only through repentance and faith in Jesus. And so we're going to sing here. As we sing, there's going to be some pastors who are here, and I want to urge you just to come to them and be like, man, I need to identify with Christ through repentance. Schedule to get baptized. So God, I pray for these that are on their knees, and I pray for those that need to identify with you. Pray for those that raise their hand. God, I ask you to fill them with the power of God. May they identify with you, walk in the Spirit, and understand whose they are each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. God's lead us.